Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
All right, guys. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we went down to Florida, and on the way back, we didn't get to stop at one of my favorite places that I know Tommy loves.
Are we guessing what that place is?
Yeah.
Bucky's.
Bucky's.
Yes.
Dude.
I was going to guess that. You just took my thunder.
You took too long. You just stood there and stared.
Tommy has a Yeti from Bucky's.
Yep. Dude. Right now, right in my hand.
You had that turned the other way. You got a flaunt.
Yeah.
Bucky's logo. Right.
You probably paid $45 for that.
I don't know. I don't think about that.
It's probably good that you don't.
Or he upgraded. He's got like a subscription.
It's a Yeti
Bucky's.
/ blender. Yeah. So, Tommy, your obsession with Bucky's, your love for Bucky's, what do you get when you go there?
Dude, the burritos.
Burritos?
The burritos are amazing. Huh. I mean, they have all kinds
of burritos. What kind of burritos?
They have all kinds of burrito. So when I was going through a vegan stage in my life, I got the vegan. I'm setting this up for y'all. I got the
please. No, stop. You are not a vegan.
No, I'm not now.
You weren't ever.
I was for like a week or two.
No,
a
week or two. A day or two.
I think I went longer than a day. No, bro, I seriously went longer than a day.
How'd you get so ripped? Bucky's vegan burritos.
They had rice and beans in them. And
that's amazing.
Yep.
That is awesome. I'm not gonna lie though. I want to try it now. You're talking. No, about. It sounds
they
good.
Are amazing. They're cheap. I mean, you may pay $40 for the Yeti, but the burrito was like $5. I don't know.
The burrito comes with it.
But dude, they have so much. Like, so my son is the direct opposite. He's like getting the four meat sandwich with like the bacon, the ribs, the burger, all in one sandwich. Like.
I'm so hungry right now.
No, I'm starving.
You were just asking me for crackers.
So. I know. Oh.
I like taking the Ritz, and I had the packet crackers there, but I like taking the Ritz and putting extra peanut butter on my cracker and just sometimes I even put the Nutella on with the peanut butter.
Oh, man. Bro. No lie. True story. So.
There's no way you were a vegan.
Wait, oh, those are vegetarian. Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's got hazelnut oil or whatever.
Nutella. All, yeah.
Hey, look, true story. During COVID, when everybody thought the world was going to end, we had loads of Nutella. And I would take like the boys' graham cracker sticks and just dip them into Nutella nonstop. And then when we finally, things were slowly opening back up, I went to my dentist and the dental hygienist that we've had for years. It's like, you have 6 cavities. What have you been doing? I'm like, I'm not going to lie. It's Nutella.
Hey,
it's
he hasn't been Nutella. Brushing.
That's for I haven't flossed in 6 months. I can still taste it.
Even with flossing, I had 6 cavities due to Nutella. And then I was like, hey, and Jill, I want you to know that I've been flossing all week before coming
exactly.
to see you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, we have an understanding.
I don't even lie anymore.
I do floss.
So. I'm going to tell them straight up. Hey, look, I don't floss.
I do.
I hate flossing.
I do floss, and I like to floss.
I don't.
But it drives my wife crazy because I get like a 3-foot piece of floss every time I go to floss because I want to change it out and get a fresh segment on each.
Yeah. Wow.
So see, my mother-in-law was a dental hygienist. So Erin grew up with her mom being a dental hygienist.
So her mom flossed her for her.
Oh yeah. But she has to floss her teeth. She loves it. And she can do it so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like an instrument.
And it doesn't bleed.
it's unbelievable.
Well, and here's the thing, to the bleeding point, this is like, I'm telling you, the dental hygienist, we have an understanding. Yeah. I floss the week leading up to seeing her, and then she'll joke sometimes, like, why don't you floss more? I'm like, because every time I do, my gums bleed.
They'll stop if you do it enough.
I know, but that's my excuse.
But I'll tell you, look.
It hurts.
I'll tell you this. When I floss and I see, my goal is to floss every night because I don't want to sleep all night.
That's impressive.
But sometimes things happen at night, but I do it in the morning 100% if I didn't do it at night. And I'm like, when certain stuff comes out, I'm like, if I didn't floss, that would be in there forever.
You'd be savoring it.
That is not what you want to do with your teeth. So I would encourage you, please floss.
I could taste a burrito right now.
Please start flossing.
You're telling me you wouldn't want to hang on to that veggie burrito for a little bit.
No. Uh-uh. No, I don't. I wouldn't.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness.
But Bucky's is amazing, and we don't have one around here, but on every trip that we're going on from now on, we stop at, if there's a Bucky's in a 20-mile radius of where we'll be, we'll divert.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like it. I like the brisket sandwiches.
Well, they have that's one good. With all the meat on it. So I was like, my son got like the 3-meat sandwich, and I think brisket was one of the meats.
That's good
on it. And
just I'm so hungry right now.
But hey, back to the Nutella thing, real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to put this out there. So this is recorded, right? So hopefully I get credit. Like I'll send my Venmo to companies that want to send me any proceeds or what I call it,
or just free Nutella.
Well, so we go to Costco, mm-hmm. and we buy the bags of rolled up coconut crisps. So imagine a crispy,
I'm tracking.
And it is hollow in the middle, and it's coconut. I take my Nutella and I stuff it in the middle of that hollowed out coconut crisp. Dude, and I'm going to tell you,
I'm sold.
Why don't those companies partner together? Like if I'm the partnership guy, you know, I'm going to be like, hey, let's partner with Nutella and let's create a product.
See, that's the thing. Like, first of all, I'm on board 100%. Like whatever you want to put with Nutella, I'm with
why
you.
Why wouldn't you partner? Nutella would, maybe they don't need to.
Waffles, sold. Oh. Toast, sold.
I mean, Ritz crackers. Yeah. Instead of having a package of Ritz crackers with the peanut butter, have a package with the Nutella.
Ask my wife. There has not been one thing I've tried putting with Nutella that I haven't absolutely loved. I don't even like all the other products. It's just Nutella makes it better.
I dip my grapes in Nutella.
Ooh, chocolate fruit.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Dude, mango, like you can get the gummy, not the gummy fruit, but the dehydrated fruit.
Yeah.
Bro.
Man, forget the meat. I want Nutella right now.
And that's vegan. If you were want to be a vegan,
it's got cocoa.
Oh my goodness, this is amazing. You guys crack me up. Well,
reel us back in, Jeff.
All right. So, all these things, right, bring back some great memories, but we have things that we carry with us, like from childhood, from even young adult, right? Things that scar us, things that hurt us, wound us. But there's this kind of growing, I mean, I told you guys before this, like every week I hear somebody trend. Say, you know, oh man, I just don't feel like I fit in that group, you know, at church or, you know, everybody's got friends, everybody's doing stuff except me.
Click.
Yeah. Like, I just don't feel like I'm involved. And I hear it, you know, we heard it younger from teenagers, right? Teenagers are real cliquish or whatever. But now I hear it in adult group setting. Like, man, I don't have any friends. I've been going to this church for 2 years.
And I think that also is, you know, what, a couple of weeks ago we talked about church. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be a barrier for people also to feel like, hey, there's click, it's clickish and, you know.
Well, it's.
Anyway.
The point I'm getting to is that 99% of the time, it's a false perception. Right. I see Justin with Tommy and man, they always hang out. And Justin just saw Tommy and said, hey, that was it.
Yeah.
But in my mind, they hang out all the time.
We do.
You don't even invite him over on your day off.
Yeah. But if you had Nutella, I'd come over.
I do have Nutella.
All right.
I got tons of Nutella. Yeah.
But a lot of it is perception. We see what we are self-conscious about. Right. And just that struggle of.
I'm guilty of this.
Right.
So,
you've called me before and be like, hey, did you get invited to that party? And I'm like, no.
It makes me feel good when you say no.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Why is there music in the background? I'm kidding.
I'm 100% guilty of that. And I think it's for me, I want to fit in. Like, I don't want there to be any tension or. I don't want someone to have a problem with me, especially if I don't know they have a problem with me. Like if I think that we're friends, I want to be, you know, included. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I include people. We've talked about this a little bit before. I will say, so we're going to get back to Jeff's point here in a minute. And you are true. You are correct when you say, I think majority of the time it's a personal perspective that is, it's not reality, and that's part of the war and the battle that we're in every day. And those types of things can be used to help us get to, you know, can help us beat us down and stuff. But what I'm trying to say is, too, also, if we're aware of that as believers, I try to go out of my way to not be closed off, to be inclusive, to think about who is not being invited to the things, or maybe who is not, isn't close to the three of us as much, and I will invite them over to our house, you know, my house, along with you guys, include them so that I'm not giving a perception of favoritism or a clickiness, which that's probably a word too. So I didn't know if you wanted to challenge me.
Yeah. We'll ask Lynn.
Challenge me on that.
Yeah, clickiness. Lynn, is that a word? Clickiness. You're an English teacher.
So, and we've, you know, so I say that I try to be open and aware of that. At the same time, I feel the rejection. Again, it may not be true when I'm not included or invited to someone's party or something, and who I thought we were, you know, have a friendship.
Sure.
Like, why are they not including me or inviting me to that birthday party or that get together?
Well, you know, my wife and I have had these conversations before, and, you know, and I told her, you know, I was like, well, we have to be honest with ourselves. Number one, we're a family of seven. Like, if you invite us over, that's a small circus. You're getting like, you know, and I get that.
I have to put the leaf in the table when you come up here.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's true. And like, I get that. And I understand that. And so that is a part of it. You know, we're
but
a
I'm
lot.
Not. I'm a table of four. Table of four. Yeah. Party of four.
And so many other reasons. Some of it might be that their kid needs to connect with that their somebody else's kid, you know, or something. You know, there's all kinds of things behind the scenes that are going on that we don't understand. We don't know until we dive in a little bit. Just ask the questions, you know. But I don't know. I find that to be a really interesting thing. You know, I had somebody ask me about my daughter, you know, and it's like, oh, but she has all these friends in, at church. And I was like, all those friends, you know, yes, they hang out, but I think there's a different motive behind it sometimes, you know, whether that's wanting to hang out with siblings or whatever, you know. And so trying to look at those things in a different way. And so, but from her perspective, like, she has all these friends, and then at home, you know, that's not necessarily the case. And so, like I said, it's a lot of it's perception and trying to figure those things out. And I think the ironic thing is I know almost everybody at the church to some degree, and being in ministry is one of the loneliest positions to be in. The pastor is not the first person that people think of to invite over, you know? And consequently, that passes over to my wife as well. And so kind of looking at those things in that manner, you know, it's hard. It's a lot of ministry leaders feel that because, well, if I bring them over, then is it going to turn into a counseling session or, you know, whatever it is? I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking, but
hide the beer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
No, and you talk about like ministry leaders too. Like I do see, I think where it extends to like others that are serving and things too. I've talked about this with Aaron, you know, like, and it probably doesn't help that I'm like I am perfectly fine, like being an extroverted introvert, like popping out and being with people. And then like, I go back and recharge and I'm okay doing that. You know, like I don't have to always be around or invited to think I can go back and retract and kind of, you know, recharge. And so, but even with small group stuff, you know, like I know that people meet outside, you know, of our small group. And man, no offense. And if anybody that's listening from our small group, I don't take this as like a sign to start inviting us to everything. I feel guilty. 100%. But, you know, I know those things happen. And I'm kind of like, you know, I think sometimes there's a stigma of like, oh, well, like they lead the small group. And so like, you know, and you know, this rub. And I'm like, look, you know,
I was also going to say, in that same context, there are probably others in the group that are not included in that who are looking for a place to find some acceptance and to find some relationships. That's where we need, as believers and being aware of these types of schemes that Satan can use to tear us apart, we should be very intentional with including others. Even if it gets us out of our comfort zone, it's growth. Mm-hmm. It's we're learning to grow and to expand, you know, out of our comfort zone as well, to invite someone that you might not invite, because that could change that person's perspective. They might need that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I say too, is like, I really want to encourage people who may be very socially popular to really think about the influence you have, and that
you, on those that struggle in that area, they're not as social or extroverted, you mm-hmm. know, so they're not going to be the ones that have a party and invite everybody over.
No.
And so they never get included. So yeah, to your point.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah. But what about that, like, play the other yeah. side of it too. What about the ones that are kind of reserved and don't maybe necessarily mm-hmm. go do a lot of things, and then not even that they hang out with people that do, but like, even for that kind of just average situation, right? Like, what's the call to action?
Yeah,
right?
Well, no,
like,
I think there is. I think there is
community.
I mean, I definitely think everybody. I mean, has a piece of this, and the person who's an introvert, who's scared or nervous about the reaction, if they don't put themselves out there at the same time, that can be, you know, perceived in a way from others that, hey, they're not interested, they don't want, and so it definitely goes both ways in that. In that area. So it takes a leap of faith from either side.
And I think where I've seen success in relationships being built is, just like anything else we talked about on this podcast, is taking a step, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be like the, hey, what's the event that's been planned and everyone's going to be invited and everyone's going to show up. It's like, sometimes it's just like, who's that couple that's on your mind that you're inviting over to dinner into your house?
Right.
And there's a relationship there. And mm-hmm. you keep doing that to where that's like, hey, when there is a thing, like mm-hmm. there's already these relationships to go like, hey, are you going? Hey, you should. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's not talking to strangers. Like, there's something being built there yeah. in a relationship. Like
right.
that to me, I think is a,
I love that.
Is successful. And Jeff, I think it's something that mm-hmm. you've shared years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, you've always talked about bringing people into y'all's right. life, y'all's world, because mm-hmm. that's how you get to know people, you know?
Because nobody wants to bring us into their world.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding. See? But it is true. I mean,
it's not true.
But here's the thing. Like, before kids, we would have had that same reaction. We're like, man, that's seven people we got to feed.
Well, I don't have that. I don't think about that when I invite you
that's
guys.
That's because
over.
You love us, man.
I do you love you, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we're bad. Like, we are bad about this. We don't do a lot of inviting. Like, I don't know.
So our why? Routine. Let me ask you that question. Why? Because yeah. that's a great question. We don't do it either. And as much as we should, I feel like summertime yeah. is here. Things have let up tremendously in our world. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, oh, now we can have people over. But before, I mean, there was literally no yeah. space, no time available.
I think there was a season of coming out of grad school and doing all that. So grad school, work, church, all those things. So it's like, when do you really have time, right? But even post that, I mean, I've always kind of been, again, that extroverted introvert where I'm mm-hmm. like I'm okay doing my own thing.
Sure.
You know, and I know that's not healthy, right. but I think that gets so natural mm-hmm. And regular that it's like, huh. And then a week passes by where you're doing work in church or kids sports, and then it's like, now, don't get me wrong. We have invited people over that have been newer to small group. Cause like, man, like, hey, like we've seen them a lot now. Like, feel I don't know them, you know, it's so like to get a little sense of knowing them. We've done that. But like, I know I've been horrible about like outside of you two coming over for lunch in the past. Like, you know,
that's always fun though. Like,
yeah.
There was a couple of years ago, maybe you and Aaron invited me and Christine out. We went.
It's been years.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, Justin. You should feel bad.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had an invite to your house, but we won't go there.
we know that's a lie because you cooked all the hot wings one day.
That's right, yeah. Okay. The Super Bowl thing yeah. or whatever you had.
But no, what I was going to say was that made, like, we felt really important. Like, that meant a lot, just that you guys wanted to spend some one-on-one time with us. And I, you know, and to your point, what you were saying earlier, I think that's a perfect way to get people who we see want to, I mean, there are people that I know that we see that want to be involved, but again, they might be nervous. I mean, it's not easy going into a group of not knowing people and inserting yourself for some. I mean, for some of us, it's, we can go and talk to anybody.
There's so many dynamics in that, right? Like, I get along with Justin, but does my wife get along with his wife? Or what about our kids? They're different ages. You know, all the different things that go in with that and trying to figure all that out. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, I feel like there are aspects of this that are challenging. And so when you look at the whole picture, you know, how do you handle it? How do you personally handle it? Like, Justin, you get recharged by being alone. Right. I get recharged by being around other people. I enjoy that atmosphere. And so there's times at my home where I'm like, hey, we got a free evening. Let's invite somebody over. And here's like, we haven't been together in 2 weeks because we've been so busy. When are we going to have time? And I'm like,
that's important.
Right. And so then I'm like, you're right. You know, so we do that. So, but when you're so busy and so overwhelmed with life and situations, like how do you make time for that when you barely have time for your family? So those are
a balance.
Real,
it is definitely a issues. Balance. And that I think as depending on where you are in your season of life, there are legitimate challenges to that and you have to balance it. Your family should come first.
Absolutely.
You know, and Justin, you're really good about protecting family time. Jeff, you are good. I feel like I look for opportunities that we protect that. Gosh, as our kids get older, it's like we really look for opportunities because we know in a blink of an eye, they're not going to be there. And so, but at the same time, I think it's good to plan for those things.
Right.
And start making a goal to say, hey, once a quarter, I mean, it doesn't have to be once a month, just once every other month, you know, let's plan to fellowship with our friends outside of how we see them at church or we see them here and there. We might, you know, text and stuff, but let's have some intentional time together just to fellowship and enjoy each other's company. And it doesn't have to always be spending money, but, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, several years ago when Justin and Aaron used to hang out with us.
Yeah.
Before grad school.
That was probably in their defense before the third kid.
That's true. Too.
It did change a lot. Yeah. It was third kid. Grad school, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because,
no, in all seriousness, one of the things was, you know, we had the twins and there were a lot to keep up with and take care of and all the things. And to go anywhere was an absolute nightmare to even consider.
They love coming to my house, by
the
way.
They do love coming to your house.
And they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
So it's like, now I know kind of a little bit like how a grandparent, not like I'm old because I'm young, but.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm too young to be a grandparent. But like, you know, the cool uncle, like, we spoil them and then we send them home with you.
They love it. No, this is what they ask. They're like, are you staying or are you leaving? And I'm like, we're going to leave. And I'm like, okay. Like, they're so excited just to be there by them because there's no rules.
They have rules for sure. But
what I was going to say is there was a time when, Justin, your crew was super busy. Our crew was super busy. And it just felt like to try to even plan something, it's never going to happen. And we kind of came to this agreement like, hey, listen, all right, here's our pact. It doesn't matter what our house looks like. Bring your leftovers. You'll have your leftovers. We'll put something together, feed the kids, and we'll just have a minute. And I remember, you know, like, man, that was a breath of fresh air because
I wasn't invited to that.
You weren't invited to that time. You were at Bucky's.
I was watching YouTube.
Yeah, nobody wanted your veggie burrito leftovers.
No. Oh, do you remember the Patriot? The Patriot sandwich. Y'all remember that?
Yes. Okay.
That's an inside joke, but.
It's just the cheapest
sandwich,
biggest, nastiest
bologna
sandwich you can
that they were about to throw away
at a gas station.
I got it at a gas station right before we came to early men's group, and I was like,
anyway. It was 4-inch thick bread with like 4 pepperonis on it.
And it's like the sandwich that's like already expired, but they still discount it to 99 cents because they've got to get rid of it.
It's in the grocery cart thing.
I still regret eating it.
Grocery cart outside in the sun.
we joked about that for about a good 6 months after. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think something that I know Jeff has shared before and we picked up on, especially with a small group, like that's where Steph was, you know, inviting you and Christine over years ago. was we tried to park time on the calendar, like, hey, this Thursday for the month, like who's on our mind? And we got away from that, you know, with, you know, Charlie, grad school, all that other stuff. But like we have in recent like months talked about like, hey, like we need to bring that back in now that stuff's kind of been slowing down. So you
put Tommy and Christine on that list. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be. He wants to feel important again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I do want to say too, like, I feel like there are, I mean, it's okay to have stronger connections with people than others. So we're not, you know, saying that every time you do something, you got to invite the whole, the whole church. Yeah. And, you know, there's certainly personalities and people and life scenarios that, you have in common with others and you create a bond. The men's group for us, for me, has been key for that. And it really started with the core of that group, really the four of us, that would be the three of us and Pat, created a bond because it was, I mean, a couple of years and well, we had Hunter and Tyler come on soon, but you know, the six of us was pretty solid for a couple of years. And then it was slowly, just organically, people see and hear, hey, yeah, come join us, come join us, come join us. It's like, you know, 30 plus people at any given time.
But even in that, even in the expansion of that, there was some kickback. Nah, man, what we have right here is great. Let's keep it right here. You mean
internal to us. There was some hesitation.
Sure.
To be a little bit selfish. Because of that, the dynamic, you know, and part of that was because we were sharing, you know, we share some things that are very personal. And you know, the more people know, the more chance, you don't want all your business on Front Street.
But here's the thing, like, I mean, in the same, think about it from a business world, right? There are some people that love to remain small because you know your people, you know your customers, you know the ins and outs, all these things. And then when you think about growing, it's like, oh man, if you grow, it's complex. It gets more complicated, all these things. Like I get that aspect of it too. But I think that goes back to all things we've talked about is like, you know, even if we've grown, like, but what's the Lord calling people to do?
And you think, you know, my simple response to that was, what if you were on the outside of this group and you wanted this to be a part of something like this?
Yeah.
So you're right. We were wrong. So you,
I mean, I'm not just kidding. I mean, and I will say, especially in ministry,
it was a challenge for all of us in the group.
That is the hardest thing to do, is to expand a group, to multiply, and to figure out how do you do that? How do you split the group in half? Do you take one couple out and they start another group? Like, how do you do all of that and do it successfully? And very few times have I seen it work, you know? And I mean, I get it. There's going to be growing pains. There's new people. You got to learn all of it, but man, the rewards in the end. And
I feel even like with our own group, there was a time where we split off and then we came, kind of came back. We
tried some different things.
I mean, yeah. So, but I was saying through that, that's even with the expansion. So we're very glad if you're, you know, all the guys in the group, we're so happy. It's just such a great, refreshing time. I've had the responsibility of facilitating the last season session, and it's been a growing, you know, season for me, and feeling worthy. Is that, I'm not trying, you know what I mean? Like qualified. I mean, I know I'm not, but you know, but I know who is in me is. And so I was telling the guys though, it's like, they're so supportive and they're so engaging, and it just makes it refreshing. Even when I don't want to come, I'm so thankful I came, you know?
And I know it sounds so silly, but like back to the theme of, hey, we make things complicated, right? Like we talked about in the last episode of quiet time, and then the episode before that, being a part of the body in the church. Like, man, if we as believers are earnestly asking the Lord, like, man, we pray about the things that maybe are going on in our life, and we're like, Lord, like, give me eyes to see. Like, who around me are you nudging me to go, like, after or engage with or whatever? Like, these things will take care of themselves if the believer, right, is seeking the Lord's heart.
Right.
And that's where, you know, it's not that you lose the core group of guys, like we're talking about this example, but there'll probably be someone else where it's like, man, like, I keep seeing that person here and there. Like, the Lord's, like, probably nudging, right? And so that's where it takes shape a little bit too. Are we doing our part?
Jeff has a book out. So
I do.
He found something that he has read.
Finally found it.
Not your own book.
No, well, this is my book.
Can I say something real quick?
You were going to.
Your chair is it's getting a on lot my of nerves.
I'm sorry, guys. I need a new chair.
Yeah, or some WD-40. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, he's
probably the bar that.
I will be still to end this episode.
I'll invite you over. You can borrow mine.
Thanks. All right, guys. I found a story I've been looking for in this book, and ironically, it was dog-eared. How funny is that? Anyway, I wanted to read this to you because this goes right along with what we're talking about. It says, imagine you go to a party with a friend. Just before you both walk into the house, your friend grabs you, looks you in the eye, and says, you do know that everyone at this party thinks you're an idiot, right? For real? All right, let's go. You're shocked. You have no idea anyone thought of you that way, much less everyone at this party. Everything at the party would seem different to you. If the host forgets to take your coat, you know why. She thinks you're an idiot and wants you to leave. If you see two people whispering and laughing, you know what they're talking about. What an idiot you are. If your friend decides to leave early, you know what's going on. He's embarrassed to be seen with such an idiot. You leave the party and your friend says, did you believe that whole idiot thing I told you? You give him a confused look. He smirks and lights up. Gotcha. No one actually thought you were an idiot, but because you assumed they did, you looked at everything through that lens. Remember, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. And that story was so powerful to me because that is exactly what we're talking about. We're coming with different lenses on and we're seeing the same situation and interpreting it differently. And so how do we win this victory in this area when self-doubt comes in? I got a couple of things for you. Number one, remember truth. All right. Know who you are in Christ, Tommy, to your point. Expect the best from people. Don't always assume that they're out to get you. They're planning stuff. They're trying to get you in some way. But expect the best, you know. And then remember, not everything's about you.
Ooh.
You know? There it is. So, guys, hang on to truth and know who you are. Know that your Father is good and He's got great plans for you. Pray for friendships. Pray for those opportunities to engage new people, and the Lord will direct you. So I hope this was encouraging to you. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks.